everyone. Welcome to Digital Worship This Week. I'm Pastor John Carolus, one of the associate pastors here at Shepherd of the Desert, and it's good to be back with you in our digital worship format. We're going to be continuing in our series called Love, Given or Taken. It's a question about whether love is something that we shape and discover for ourselves or whether it's something we receive as it has been designed by God. Of course, you can probably tell in my description of the question where our series is going to lead us. But we're following along with the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans and then later in the book of Philippians as he explains how the idea of love, as it fits more broadly as our role as human beings placed in a society and in a kingdom, narrows down into our relationships with other people and finally in those personal one-on-one connections that we have. What does love look like? What does it mean to love my neighbor? And how does God call me to live in light of that? So today we're going to be talking about something that maybe isn't your first thought when you hear the word love, but it's something that's all the more important as we think about what it means to be a loving person in the great connections and large societies that we are a part of, cultures we are a part of today. So we're talking about love as kind of a God-given or God-ordained or God-instructed love of country, a love for the civil authorities that God has placed over us. Romans chapter 13 is the place where we're going to find our reading today, and it speaks very specifically toward what our attitude as Christians should be when it comes to how we feel about the people that have authority over us. Now, there's a couple of contextual details that are important to keep in mind. First of all, this is a very different world than the one that the Apostle Paul was writing toward in Romans chapter 13. You and I live at a time where we are given a great deal of autonomy. We're given a voice. We live in a Western republic democracy that allows us to vote, that allows us to speak publicly, that allows us to express our opinions, even if those fly in the face of what the government says are the way things should be. So, when we hear these words from the Apostle Paul, we should remember that he's writing to a church and a group of people that exist in a place hostile to Christianity. It's a place where it's illegal to worship somebody other than the governing authority as God himself, let alone reject the entire pantheon of gods that ruled over the Roman world. And so, as we hear the Apostle Paul's instructions to the church in Rome, it's just good to keep that difference in context in mind, and then we'll explain how this fits into the rest of the book of Romans and how it informs our call to love the people around us as people, as Christians, as members of our communities. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, as we read through this text together. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes, too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's law. So it's interesting, this verse selection by itself maybe doesn't feel quite as much of whiplash as you would expect it to feel if you were to, say, read through the whole book of Romans at once. But last week, we heard in our services from Romans chapter 12, what it means to let love be genuine, to abhor what is evil, to avoid wrong consideration of others, and to embrace a loving attitude toward the people that God has placed around you, to do good. And then following right out of that chapter, it ends with this phrase, conquer evil by doing good. It goes into respecting our earthly authorities. Now, you would be in good company if you thought to yourself, well, that doesn't really make much sense to me. That jump seems to be a little bit sudden, a little bit drastic, because many people have wondered why the Apostle Paul went to civil authorities right after he comes out of this long period in the book of Romans to love your neighbors. But if you were to think about it this way, it makes a little bit more sense. What is the easiest and most direct way to love the most amount of people at the same time, especially people that you have a connection with? Well, the answer just might be to be a good citizen, right? To follow the rules, to live according to the law of the land. How might we love the people around us best, the other people that live in our country? Well, when we do the things that the authorities have put in place to guide our behavior, to guide the way that we conduct ourselves and earn a living for ourselves. When we pay our taxes, it keeps people that keep us safe employed. When we follow the laws that they give us, we are exemplifying what it means to respect and honor the authorities God has placed above us. And when we live in a way that's predictable, in a sense, in other words, we live in a consistent and safe way, we are creating an environment where the greatest amount of people can be who they genuinely are called to be in the best way possible. So in that very broad sense, if the Apostle Paul is going to narrow his focus of what it means to love our neighbor, it makes sense that he starts at this broad kind of national level, or empirical level, if you were. If you think about his original context in Rome, that whole empire was basically everything surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. And he's saying, listen, guys, I know that you believe in the gospel of Jesus. You've been hearing my instructions on what it means that you have won salvation through the work of Jesus. You have been declared righteous by the Father's own declaration over you because of the price Jesus paid and the Spirit at work in your hearts. Therefore, in this newfound freedom, you are called to live a life of love for your neighbor. And love for your neighbor starts with submitting to the authorities that God has placed over us. First of all, of course, it's submitting to God Himself. He has won us. He has chosen us. He has equipped us to follow His laws. And then He tells us here in Romans chapter 13 that He has placed the authorities in our lives over us. Now, if you're anything like me, you may not like to be governed, right? Especially as kids, I think we see this most when we start to push against the limits of our parents' instructions over us. We want to know which rules really can be broken and which ones dare we not touch. And as we grow into adulthood and as we become the individuals God calls us to be, sometimes we resist the governing authorities that God has placed over us. Maybe we think we have a better idea of how the country should be run, or maybe we disagree with the way that the police department or the governor or the mayor is choosing to make their decisions. And sometimes in our hearts, we kind of tend this bitterness toward the people that God has placed over us. Now, that's not to say any governing authority is perfect. Certainly not. And no authority should take the place of God in our lives. However, when we recognize that God has placed authorities in our life, it enables us to look at them in a different way. Because in our sinfulness, right, in our natural sin-corrupted state, none of us wants to be governed, because each of us is corrupted by this idea that we are the best people to be in charge of ourselves. Not only that, but our number one priority should be our own welfare. So not only do we think most highly of ourselves, we also are most concerned for our own goodness, our own advantage, our own riches, our own accomplishments. We care about us and ourselves first. But you see, what Paul has just spent 12 chapters of the book of Romans doing is explaining to the people that believe in the promises of Jesus that they are no longer bound by that corrupted state. Instead, not only have they been declared righteous by the work of Jesus through the word of God the Father, but the Spirit is at work in their hearts, changing how they live and how they move and how they behave. And Paul is saying, it's now time to begin to shift away from this self-concerned and self-totally distracted, self-obsessed person and into someone who is freed to live a different way. And it starts with how you think about the people that God has placed over you in authority, whether it be a national authority, whether it be a work authority, a supervisor or a boss, whether it be another kind of civil authority, or maybe even just a relational authority, a parent perhaps, and the people God has placed as caretakers in our lives. He calls us to embrace a relationship with them that is marked by honor and respect. It's marked by submission. It's marked by following the rules. Now, of course, all of us, when we hear this statement, think about, well, what about evil governments? What about the communists? Or what about the Nazis? Or what about the evil emperors in Paul's day? Well, Paul gives this instruction to Christians who, in our eyes, have every right to rebel against the authorities that are in place. And yet, here's the tension we have to live in. God has placed authorities in their positions to rule over us. If they do that wrongly, God does not give us the new authority to punish them for it. Instead, he says, trust me to handle that. I'm the one that put them there. I'm the one that will handle whether they accomplish or fail at the things that I've called them to do. You simply are called to live as an example of someone who loves their neighbor, starting here at this broad level, through respecting your authorities. Now, I know this may sound strange and sound weird because we come from a country that's founded on independence, that's founded on fighting for our freedoms and standing up for ourselves. And this kind of grates against what we've been taught. But this is a biblical theme that carries itself all the way through the Old and the New Testament. Chapter 29, Jeremiah the prophet is writing to the people who are in captivity. Talk about an oppressive and hostile environment. They are held captive in a city for decades and decades, and God gives his people this instruction. Pray and fight for the welfare of the city that you are held captive in, because your own welfare is directly connected to the welfare of that place. Later on, in 1 Peter, we hear this instruction from the other great apostle, Peter, who went to the Jews. Paul went to the Gentiles. Peter went to the Jews. And he says, honor the emperor, honor the king. Even if they're treating you poorly, God has placed them in that position. And he will make things right, ultimately, in his own time. But the Bible teaches us that we are to have a posture of respect, honor, and obedience for those that God has placed in authority over us. Now, we'll be digging deeper into what love looks like on a more smaller level, on a more immediate level, as the next few weeks progress. But today, I just want you to remember, I want you to think about what it means that God has called you and me both to live a life marked by honor, obedience, and submission to the authorities God has placed over us. Do we always speak in a way that reflects that? Well, I'm certainly guilty of my fair share of criticism, maybe more than my fair share of criticism authorities, and that's something I'm going to have to work on. How about you? The things that you say to your friends, the things that you post online, the way that you conduct yourself around those kinds of authorities. Are we living in submission? Are we living in honoring the people that God has placed over us? We certainly can embrace the freedoms we have to speak out and to speak up and to try and make things better. But let's never fall into the trap of becoming empty, bitter, and corrupt, selfish people who are solely offended by the fact that sometimes the authorities don't do what we want them to do. God has called us to this life marked by love. He even sums it up in the reading, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the key. That's the key to following God's commands. And it can start even at the level of your own national pride. How can you love your neighbor simply by being a great citizen? Thanks for joining us this week as we continue to work our way through Romans and a little bit of Philippians. I'm excited for the rest of this series. I hope you have a great week. May God bless you and keep you as you make your way into the days ahead.